You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray teaches about Jesus' journey to the cross and what the gospel means for us in our lives. Here's Pastor Ray.
Well, I'll add to what others have said and say thank you for being with us in this online service today here at Portland Christian Center. And if you're part of our church family, or if you're part of the family of God from somewhere else in the world, today is Communion Sunday. Today is our traditional day, the first Sunday of the month, to remember Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. And when you think about communion, primarily communion calls us to remember the mightiest of all acts of God in delivering His people. And so today I want to explore that with you. I'm going to ask you to think about this as we begin. Think about how amazing your brain's ability is to collect information, that is, to remember. Researchers say to the tune of 2.5 petabytes of data. 2.5 petabytes. What's a petabyte? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is not when your pet bites you. That's a different kind of bite, and you will remember that. But a petabyte is a unit of memory in computer science equal to 1 million gigabytes. 1 million gigabytes. Now, by contrast, my iPhone has 256 gigabytes of memory. And just multiply that times 2.5 million, and you have what your brain is able to collect and to remember. That's a lot. And your brain doesn't even need a software upgrade every 5 hours or so. To illustrate a different way, 2.5 petabytes equals 300 million hours of television programming, 300 million hours of TV, which some of you have managed to watch during this quarantine. And let me just say this. There's only so many Hallmark movies you can watch before your brain turns to cream of wheat, so you might want to moderate that a little bit. Years ago, Time Magazine ran an entire issue on memory, and it was absolutely fascinating. I wish I could tell you about it, but I just can't remember what it said. But seriously, regarding memory loss, it stated this, that as we begin to age, our cognitive lights begin to flicker, and memory is the first bulb to blow. And you know that to be true. You begin to forget things. Have you ever forgot a name? Ever done that? Have you ever walked into a party and someone introduced you to somebody else and you forgot their name before you reached the bean dip? You forgot. Have you ever forgot the birth date of your kids? Have you ever forgot your pet's name? Maybe that was the one that bit you, the petabyte problem. Have you ever forgot your spouse's phone number? You know, some time ago I was out, I don't remember where, and I forgot my phone number. And I was trying to purchase a subscription to something, a service for some from some company that we needed for our household. And not only did they ask for my social security number on the application, but they asked for Linda's as well. Well, Linda wasn't with me. And so I didn't remember her social security number. And the person that was helping me offered me his phone to call Linda to get the number. And I said, listen, unless you have Linda on speed dial, it's not going to help. I had forgot her phone number. I had forgot her social security number. I couldn't remember. I still can't. All I do is hit a speed dial and it calls her. You see, I've got a memory problem, and I suspect you do too. We get fuzzy with the important things that we ought to remain clear about. People forget their covenant to stay faithful to their spouse, and they begin to drift in their marriage. Parents forget how much their kids need both a mom and dad in a loving marriage relationship in the home. They forget that and they file for a divorce. We drift spiritually because we get busy for the Lord, but we forget to love the Lord. And that's why Scripture repeatedly calls us to remember what God deems important. Remember this. Remember, it is I who have given you this wealth or this ability. Don't forget. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember your first love. Remember, God calls us regularly, often in the Word, to remember. And nowhere is that call to remember more urgent than in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to ask you to turn there in your Bible or your Bible app, and we're going to look at Paul's teaching on the Lord's Supper, on communion. And so I want you to focus with me, if you have your Bible open, on verses 23 through 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. And this is Paul who is quoting Jesus at this point. And he says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Don't forget, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Don't forget what I've done. For whenever you do this, you proclaim my death until I return." Now, in that text, did you pick up on Jesus' concern that we remember, that we don't forget what he had done for us? "This is my body," he says. "This is my blood," he says. "Don't forget. Keep remembering so you don't forget." Yeah, I think it's very instructive that throughout Scripture, how many times God commands his people to remember his great acts of deliverance. And he does that by prescribing various kinds of memorials for them. Memorials, like we celebrate Memorial Day in order to remember things that are important, people that were important in our lives. Now, in some cases in Scripture, that memorial was literally an altar of remembrance. We find that in Joshua chapter 4. At other times, it involved the symbolism of the priestly garments, which we find in Exodus 28. Sometimes the memorial was a regular sacrifice, as in Leviticus 2, or a festival, as in Numbers 10, or a high holy day, as we find in Exodus chapter 12. But for the New Testament community, for the new community, Jesus replaced all other altars of remembrance with communion. He understood the power of memory and how visible representations would evoke emotions that would reconnect us and recommit us to defining spiritual events in our lives. He knew how symbols would arrest our spiritual drift and remind us of our covenantal love for him. And that's why we have Holy Communion. It's the ultimate altar of remembrance, which we will observe together in a moment. In fact, if you don't have your communion elements, I would encourage you to get those right now. Just get whatever you need. Get a cup with something to drink in it. Get a piece of bread. If you don't have unleavened bread, just get some bread, whatever you need. Just improvise. I think in these times that we're in, God would understand if we don't have the fruit of the vine and the literal bread. We're going to have communion in a moment. But today, Jesus is calling us to come again to his table, the Lord's table, to remember. In fact, every time we have communion together, now we're not together, but we're going to come together spiritually when we do this in a moment. And whenever we receive communion, including today, we're called to remember some things. So just what is it that you and I are called to remember? Let me give you three things. First of all, communion calls us to remember our spiritual freedom purchased with Christ's blood. The bread calls me to the cross where I rediscover the wounds that were meant for me were driven into his body instead. The cup, this cup that I will take in my hands, that you will hold in your hands in just a minute, calls me to remember his hands that spilled the blood into which those nails were driven for you and for me, for our sin. By his sacrifice, the price for our freedom, freedom from sin and freedom from the punishment that sin demands before a holy God, freedom from hell, which we deserve because of our sins as eternal punishment. All of that, the price for our freedom was paid in full by Christ's own blood. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, that God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son, and he forgave our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God through Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says that we were hopelessly far from God. We were separate from God, separated from God because of our sin. You were hopelessly far from God, but have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. He himself bore in our bodies, in his body, our sin. He himself bore in his body the sin that was rightly ours. And as we remember at communion what God did to buy our spiritual freedom, we can't help but overflow with gratitude for the price that was paid, the full price that was paid for our full pardon. The price, the currency, was Christ's own blood. So we're called to remember our spiritual freedom purchased by Christ, with Christ's blood. And then second, communion calls us to remember our spiritual family. Interestingly, our spiritual family also purchased with Christ's blood. In the bread and in the cup, there's an inescapable sense of community that we're to have. You see, we don't come to the table only as individuals, although we do, but we come together as God's family. Even though we're not together in this room, we're together spiritually. But when we come together, we are to realize that we come together as the children, as the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you were to read the Apostle Paul in the full context of this teaching on communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you would see that he's actually correcting an abuse within the Corinthian church. And namely, that abuse was that they were being insensitive to one another's needs. They were being too individualistic. You see, there was a meal that accompanied their communion. And some of those believers were coming with their meal, with their food, and they were eating without waiting. They were feasting while other poor believers were going hungry. They weren't offering to share. You see, back in those days, and as in much of the world today, there are some people with substance, with money, with food, and there are others, many, many hundreds of millions of people, they're hungry. They don't have food. And some of those believers were coming into the church gathering for communion, for this dinner, and others weren't sharing with them. They were eating in front of them. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, what Paul says about that. He says, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, not just his physical body, but the body of Christ, the family of God, eats and drinks judgment on himself. Paul says that communion calls us to remember not only our blood-bought freedom, but our blood-bought spiritual family. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says that God bought this flock, his family, with the blood of his son. He purchased us as a family with the blood of his son. And so communion isn't just about me. It's about us. It demands that not only we look back and remember what Christ did to purchase our freedom, but we look without to discern who needs our love and who needs our acceptance and who needs our forgiveness and who needs our very real help. You see, back then in those days, communion was called the love feast. Why was it called that? Well, not only in communion was our love for Christ to be at its most intimate, our love for one another was to be at its most intense. And so what Jesus is reminding us of and what Paul is picking up on is that the love flowing down to us from him must now flow out from us to others. I think one of the acts of obedience that should come out of this communion and out of this communion teaching today is that we would realize that there are people right now, specific people who need our help. And so I would encourage you, as soon as this service is over and as soon as you have received communion, that you pick up the phone, since we can't go to them at this point and where we're at in our pandemic season, that you would pick up a phone and you would say, I want to help you. I would even say, don't ask them if they need help. Most people won't say, yeah, I need your help. They're too embarrassed. They're reluctant to do that. But if you discern somebody needs your very real help, pick up the phone and make it happen. That would be one of the best implementations that I can think of applying communion to your life in a real way. So communion calls us to remember our spiritual family, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then third, communion calls us to also remember our spiritual destiny. That too was purchased with Christ's blood. Look at verse 26 of chapter 11 there in 1 Corinthians. It says that when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, what happens? We are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. You see, communion is about looking back. It's remembering what Christ did for us. It's about the present. It's what we're doing in the moment as we remember and as we worship and as we love one another, as we help each other. But it's also about looking forward. At the Last Supper in Matthew chapter 26, you'd notice in verse 29 that Jesus said, "I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." It's anticipating something in the future. So again, not only does communion call us to look back to the cross and to look out to our spiritual community, but it causes us to look up or to look forward because it reminds us that Jesus is coming back. Friends, he's coming back soon. Jesus is coming soon to take us to heaven. And that is our eternal destiny. And every month at communion, we're reminded that Jesus is returning. It could be today. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. We don't know when, but we know it will be soon. And that reminds us to hold this life loosely, to live with the expectancy of eternity, that Jesus is prepared for those who are ready to leave this planet before the next heartbeat. We are to live ready to leave. You know, I've thought about that a lot over the last year and a half, that life is fragile, that we're just a heartbeat away from eternity. And in my nuclear family, I lost four members to death. I lost them, but heaven gained them, both my parents and two siblings. I've been thinking about that. We're just a heartbeat away from our eternal destiny. I thought about that again a few weeks ago as I celebrated a final earthly communion with 101-year-old Flo Price. And that was just a few days before she left for heaven. Flo was ready to go to her new home, her real home. And as I thought about that, it reminded me that this world, this present world, is not my home either. Neither is it yours. Let's not forget that there's a better one coming. So get ready and live ready. And every time you receive communion, remind yourself that is your spiritual destiny, your spiritual destination, and that too was purchased by Christ's blood. As we come to the table this morning, as we come to the Lord's table today, let's remember what this is all about. And may you think about your spiritual freedom as you remember what Christ did to purchase it with his own blood. Think of your spiritual family as you remember how Christ bought us with his own blood and then brought us into God's forever family. And think about your spiritual destiny as you remember that day when, for the first time since the Last Supper, we will feast at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that will be the communion of all communions. And that too was purchased with the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that one, and I messed up. James, I'm going to stop here and go back. As we come to the Lord's table today, let's remember what this is all about. I hope that it will cause you to think of your spiritual freedom as you remember what Christ did to purchase it with his own precious blood. I hope you'll think about your spiritual family as you remember how Christ bought us with his own precious shed blood and then brought us into the forever family of God. I hope that you will think of your spiritual destiny as you remember that day for the first time since the Last Supper that we feast with Jesus himself at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that will be the communion of all communions. And that too was purchased with his own blood. And that one will be anticipated by what we do in this moment. So as we receive communion today, Jesus calls us into remembrance. He calls us beyond rote ritualism. If you tend to go through communion services just kind of ritualistically, leave that behind and let's enter into real remembrance. Sometime back, I read about a youth group that was reenacting the crucifixion. And the youth pastor played the role of Christ. And the students played the jeering mob that were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they dragged this Christ out into the church courtyard, and there they hung him on a cross. And as the mob grew very quiet, the Christ, the youth pastor said, "Even though you're doing this to me, I still love you." Well, the senior pastor had slipped into the courtyard and he was watching from the back. And as he watched, he noticed that there was one of the younger students, a girl who was very near the cross. And she just stood transfixed, looking up at the Christ. And the pastor noticed that very real tears were streaming down her cheeks. And he was moved by her love. He was moved by her devotion. And the pastor said, "I was envious of her. For the rest of us, this was a performance. But for her, it was the real thing. She was there. She was remembering." As you come to the table today, let this be a real remembrance, not just rote ritual. We're going to come in a moment, but before we do, I want us to prepare our hearts by worshiping the Lord. You know, one of the songs, the first song that we're going to sing actually, is entitled "Sovereign Over Us." And I was thinking about approaching communion and what that represents and thinking back to the sacrifice of Christ. And whenever I do that, not only am I filled with joy for what he did, but there's a sadness in me that he had to suffer what he did. And it's almost as if in my mind, I imagine that his life was interrupted by this. His plans to be the Messiah of the world were interrupted by his arrest and his torture and the crucifixion. But we need to understand that that's not the case. This was not an interruption. This was a plan all along by the sovereign God, who from the foundation of the world planned on Jesus being the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice for our sins. Revelation talks about that. It says that he was the Lamb from the foundations of the world, the Lamb that was slain. And because of that, when Jesus hung on that cross, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. He endured the pain of the cross. What was the joy set before him? Oh, I believe that Jesus was able to look through the passage of time. He was able to look into the future, and he was able to see you and me redeemed by his blood. And that gave him great joy. You know, we're going through a very difficult time right now. We're sheltering in place. We're staying at home. We can't gather as a church family. We can't do many things right now. We've been deprived in a way, and perhaps there's some worry in your life over this virus that's going around, the health of you or your loved ones or your economy. Will you have a job? What will life be like when we get back to normal? And maybe there's some fear and anxiety in your life, but I want you to hear this and hear this in this song that he is sovereign over us. The Apostle Paul says it profoundly in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? He will give us everything else as well that we need. In the communion, in the death, the sacrifice of Jesus, we have all that we need. So let's prepare our hearts. Let's worship the God who is sovereign over all.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.